You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
As I said earlier, my name is Rick. If you don't know me or haven't met me yet, and we're carrying on in our journey through 1 Corinthians. We've started a series, and so far we've looked at faithfulness and foolishness. We've looked at wisdom and power. And last week, Sean preached on growing up into maturity. And this week, we dive into chapter 4, looking at what I've called Paul's ways. Paul's ways. And whilst we'll be looking at Paul and some of his leadership ways, I want all of us to see how these principles apply in our lives and our context. You might be leading your own business. You might be leading at home. You might be leading in the classroom, leading in the hospital ward. Mum and dad, you're leading with the raising of your kids. Husbands and wives, you're leading in your marriage. Single people, you are leading among your friends and your family and your calling. Young people, you're leading your lives in a world that can be very confusing, with pressures all around you. I want to say that this sermon is for you. And in this sermon, I want to help you see how you can lead your lives in whatever God has called you to, with the cross at the very center. Love that we sang about that this morning. And I'll be reading from verse 15 of chapter 4. And this is Paul writing. He says, "For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church." So Paul reminds the Corinthians that although they may have many guides, perhaps people that have come in since Paul established the church and have been helping and speaking into the life of the community, they do not have many fathers. And then he says to them, "I became your father through the gospel." And in so doing, Paul is establishing the authority to speak into their lives. As a father, he has the responsibility and the joy of leading his children well. Paul is moved with affection for this church. The people within it he sees as his children. And because he is their father, Paul can boldly say to them, "Imitate me." Paul is putting himself out there for those in the church to follow and to imitate. And of course, that statement is made within the context of what Paul says later in chapter 11, where he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But he is still saying, "Look at my life, look at my example, and see how I live. Imitate me." But for many of us, this language can be quite jarring. Someone saying, "Imitate me," in today's culture can seem arrogant, proud, distracting. What's more, in the current context of church leadership failings and investigations, following and imitating someone can be unhealthy. So how do we make sense of Paul's instruction in our context today? So let's hold that thought. I'm going to come back to it. But let's hold that thought for now. Paul says, "Imitate me." And he then says, "For this reason, I'm sending Timothy." Well, what reason is that? You see, it's harder to imitate someone when they're not there. And Paul wasn't in Corinth at the time. But he says to them, for this reason, so that you can imitate me, I'm sending Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ. So there's a few things that Paul's laying down for the Corinthians here. Firstly, he's saying, Paul's telling the church that Timothy is also a son. When Timothy arrives, the Corinthians should treat him as a brother, as family, on the same level as they are, a beloved son. But not only beloved, Timothy is also faithful. One of the reasons why Paul is sending Timothy is that he's faithful and he will remind the church of Paul's ways. And these are not just ways that Paul's come up with. These are the ways that Paul teaches everywhere in every church. What Paul is saying here is that his ways, his way of leading, his way of living the faith, these are not just good ideas. These are not just handy tips that Paul happens to have picked up along the way in his life. But these are the ways of the Christian life. These are the ways that he teaches into every church everywhere. And now Paul is sending Timothy, his beloved and faithful son, who knows his ways and is faithful to them, so that Timothy can remind the church in Corinth of Paul's ways in his absence. And I want to show you something that's going on here, because if we see it, it can have a powerful impact in our lives. When Paul sent Timothy to Corinth, he was sending a living testimony. Timothy is a living example of a faithful son. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, if you want to grow up into maturity, Timothy's life will show you the way. Look to him and see my ways, and let Timothy's example be a living testimony to you. And what this means is that Timothy's life to the people around him as he comes into Corinth can be powerfully formative for them. And I wonder if you have ever reflected on the formative power of your life. Like Timothy being sent into this messy church to be a brother amongst them and to help them remind them of Paul's ways. What an opportunity for each of us here at Jubilee to be a brother and sister amongst this family, encouraging each other and building each other up in our holy faith. Have you thought of the wonderful impact that your life can have on those in the church and also in the world? Your life, my life, is lived out in front of others, and it, for some aspect of it, is for the benefit of others. The gift of God that He has imparted into your life is for the benefit of the church. And your life is, if you like, a live action movie that we get to peer into and be encouraged from and built up from. And when I look around the room, I'm just so encouraged. When I think of Elizabeth and Catherine and how they cared for and supported Doreen and Kang and the family in Doreen's last few weeks, I see what it means to love others sacrificially. And it encourages me and spurs me on. When I look at Alvin and how he is so willing to serve and to share Jesus with others and welcome people at the door, it builds me up. When I see Nikki and Laura getting trained up with Growing Hope to help support families and children, I'm inspired. When I see Evane leading the team at the Den week in, week out, just bringing the church to these kids who don't know Jesus yet. I also see Alex there, who's helped out every week from the beginning, doing PA, setting up, having fun with the kids. And it spurs me on. It encourages me on. It builds up my faith. And the stories could go on and on and on as I look around the room. Now, we don't do these things to show off. These people don't even know that I'm looking and that I'm being built up by their living testimonies. So it's not a sense of showing off. It's just more of a reality of living our lives together in community. We display our lives, and I want us to grab hold of the opportunity before us for the Holy Spirit to work through our lives for the benefit of others and building up their faith. You see, sometimes I can hear people say, well, I don't really have anything to offer. I don't really have any special gifts that build up the church. And I want all of us to know that, my goodness, we do. Every single one of us have a gift. Each one of us, when our lives are on display, God is working in us and through us. And as we deal with various challenges and temptations and joys of life, how we respond to them, how we fail, how we get up and dust ourselves off, how we care, how we serve, how we give, all these daily, ongoing, at times seemingly mundane ways, they're a constant reminder of the ways of the King, the ways of God. And just in living in community together, we are building up one another. Brothers and sisters, living together, our lives on display, a living testimony for others to see and be encouraged by. So don't discount yourself. Your life is on display, and as you live it out in community, you will be building up your brothers and sisters in the faith. But I also need to be really clear at this point. Living your life on display in community is never an attempt to hide the fault lines and display only what we seem and deem to be presentable. We can learn as much from each other's mistakes and failings and missteps as we can through our victories and our breakthroughs. Living in community with people you trust, showing our weakness can be utterly transformative if we do it well. Like Sean mentioned last week, people will row with one another at Jubilee. We want you to row well. Because even in our disagreement, it can be a living testimony to God's grace and the Holy Spirit working in us. Being able to love someone well and disagree with them on something that matters really deeply to both of you can be utterly transformative. It says to the other, Christ died for you. That is how much you are loved. I really disagree with you on this, and yet that is not what will define us. You are a brother and sister in Christ, and I want that to define us. I've learned so much from my growth group in this, where people have appropriately shared sort of vulnerable moments in their journeys of faith, their challenges and their temptations. And it was such a time in our group. And what I loved the most about it, as people shared their journey with others in the group, is the response that they received as they shared their journeys, their weaknesses, their frailties, some of the difficulties that had gone through in their lives. And what it drew out in the rest of us was such compassion and understanding and love that it just turned our group upside down. It was so uplifting and so strengthening. It was love in action. Your lives on display, lived in community, a living testimony. But we need to see what Paul is saying here. It was not that any sort of life would remind the Corinthians of Paul's ways. It was a beloved and faithful son who knew Paul's ways and would live them out in community. It was that example that would remind the community of Paul's ways and what a life in Christ looks like. But you see, the general principle of being a living testimony is true, regardless of the way that you live. And the pointy question we each need to reflect on this morning is, what is our living testimony reminding other people of? Is it reminding others of the ways of Christ, or is it telling a different story? And this is where I want to come back to what Paul was saying in his instruction to the church to imitate him. We need to understand this well, don't we, in our current context, so that we can see why Paul said this and how it might be helpful to us today, living our lives. As I said, many in today's culture would see this instruction as at best suspicious and at worst unhealthy and dangerous. It would simply be another attempt at coercion and control and manipulation. Some would see it as another form of injustice and abusive control, and in this case, by the church. And many would say, and understandably so, by the church again. And that is why it's so important to know the life Paul is calling us to in his request to imitate him. And let's go back to verse 9 to see what he has to say. Verse 9, he says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored and we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment." The scum of the earth, the garbage of the world. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Weak, dishonored, fools, a spectacle. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. We should be under no illusion that we're being called here to a very particular type of life. And I think sometimes the church, particularly in the West, has co-opted the message of the world and preached ways of living, which, when you filter out all the gloss, avoids suffering, seeks comfort, does all it can to insulate the negative impact of others, and in the end, lives selfishly. To that message, Paul robustly declares, "To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, we're in rags, we're brutally treated, and we are homeless. Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Now, everything in my own selfish impulses cries out at this point, I do not want to imitate Paul. Not so much because of the risk of manipulation, but because of the costly obedience that's required. Paul's ways, which he deposited into the churches everywhere, include these things. And verse 12 and 13 perhaps particularly resonate with us and remind us. Verse 12. Oh, I put that in there. No. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this point. Bless, endure, answer kindly. But let's put these words in proper context. Bless when cursed, endure when persecuted, answer kindly when slandered. Paul is demonstrating here that the way he leads is the way of the cross. The way Timothy is going to remind the church are the ways of Christ. It's a kingdom ethic and a kingdom life. And it says, turn the other cheek. It says, forgive and love. Extend mercy. give, be compassionate, love your enemy. This is the life that Paul is calling us to live out on display in community together. And of course, Paul was speaking in a very particular context, and it would be really poor biblical interpretation to simply import all of Paul's life and what he was facing into our lives today. You and I are not the Apostle Paul, and we are not living in the ancient Near East. What each of us needs to do is to work out how to imitate Paul and how to live out his ways in 21st century England. In your home, in your family, at your job, with your challenges and temptations. So what Paul is calling us to here is to imitate the principles that sit behind the observable behavior. So we're not to become homeless for homeless sake, but God may be saying downsize rather than upsize so you can be more generous. We don't wear rags for the sake of rags, but God might be saying to you, buy less for yourself so you can buy more for others. The key here is to ask the Holy Spirit to help us see the kingdom principles behind the example that Paul gives us, and then ask the Holy Spirit to empower us so we can live that life out on display in community. For the sake of the church and for the sake of the world. I mean, I see the Rices and the Newmans and the Williamsons and the Gubbs and all pursuing their journey of fostering, and I'm so encouraged. The Woodbridges, they're laying down their lives for the benefit of others. God hasn't called Lindy and I to that, and it's never a competition, but I am so encouraged by their faith. I see them and I'm just spurred on, and it makes me ask the question, what is God calling me to then and my family, and how can we lay down our lives once again for the benefit of others? I see Andy Marriott coming around with his postcards that have got a scripture on them, an encouraging word, and he's handing them out to people and his willingness to serve. I see the setup and the PA team here before anyone and still here when everyone's gone. And it shows me the joy of serving and finding your place. I see the church leaders in Farnham working together for the gospel, agreeing in most things, but for the joy of the gospel and for the benefit of the people of Farnham and its surrounding areas, we keep working together when things don't absolutely align because we have a bigger vision, and it shows me how to work with difference for a unified kingdom vision. I see people grappling with the purpose of work and careers at moments when the next promotion is enticingly close. And I'm privileged to walk with them as they explore other avenues, which may well have a cost for them personally, but they do so for the benefit of others, and it fills me with such hope. I see couples continuing to work on marriages that are navigating choppy waters, all in the hope and expectation that God can restore all things. The privilege it is to journey with people who are enduring, persevering, clinging on. And it builds my faith. All around you, lives on display, building up the church. These lives on display are not done for anyone's show, but by God's design and intent, because Christ is their King. These lives are on display by God's design for the building up of the church in her most holy faith. And so what about you? How about you? Have you ever considered how your life is building up the saints? Have you ever considered how your life could build up the saints? And I would encourage you this morning, be reminded of the ways of living the faith that we see in Paul, that we see in Timothy, and then take a look around this room and name the person that you can see. and live your life on display for the benefit of others. And in doing this, you will find your place. You'll be working your part, and you'll be being a member of the body of Christ, which means that the whole body is working well together and being built up into the image of Christ. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Oh, Jubilee Church, I want you to be reminded of the ways, to look to Paul, to look to the Scriptures, to look to the saints of old, to look to your brothers and sisters in the room and be encouraged and reminded of the ways of the faith. And then begin to embody that and ask for the Spirit's equipping and empowering to live that life out more and more, recognizing that in your perhaps daily mundane, as you might see it at times, it can be a blessing to someone else who's looking in and you're building up their faith. Whether you are having an encounter and a breakthrough, or whether you're maybe still in the dust of falling over. But how you pick yourself up, how the church comes around you, can be so powerful. So I'm going to ask Daniel and the band to come up. We're going to have some time of worship again. And as we come to communion, I want all of us, before we come to the table, just let's prepare our hearts. And if God's speaking to you this morning, and I pray that He is to each one of us, reminding us of the power of our lives lived on display in community, not to be showy, not because anyone's watching, but because Christ is our King. And in doing that, knowing this is building up my brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Spirit and thank you for your word this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you remind us this week as we read your Scriptures, as we read 1 Corinthians, as we see the example of Paul and Timothy, of John, of Peter, of Jesus, of the prophets of old, of the saints of old, of our brothers and sisters in this room. Be reminded and encouraged and built up in our faith. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you come and empower people and equip people. Remind them that in their daily living, they are a living testimony to the ways of God, to the church and to the world. And we so desperately need that in this day. So come, Holy Spirit, help prepare our hearts. Help grip hearts this morning, I pray. And help us to live lives that are worthy of our calling in Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray.